Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. We hope you enjoy today's message. To learn more about Crossroads,
do the message today. This we're in this series called Spirit People, and I really felt God put on my heart that there's a place where we need a little more Holy Spirit, and it's our marriages. And I wanted to spend some time on that today. As some of you may know, I'm a Christian counselor here in the Valley, and so hear lots of stories. Lots of interesting things, and I've experienced personally a lot of these interesting things. And I just wanted to take some time today to share, not from my own perspective, but what God has revealed to me that I hope to share with you. This isn't the Dan Cale show. I hope it's the God show, and that He'll reveal some things to you as well. And I also want to say, my focus today is kind of on marriage. But if you're single, please don't bolt. Hang out. I got something for you too. I'll just touch on that right now. I mean, there's a couple reasons why this would be important to you. One, you know, if you're in a place where you're seeking a relationship with somebody, or you've just started connecting with somebody, this could greatly bless you. I'm going to share some of my trials and journeys and difficulties, and I hope that would just bless you. And the other thing is even if you're not in that place where you're looking for somebody, you can be a blessing to other marriages, family, friends. There's so much when we engage the gifts that God has given us, the spiritual gifts that He's given us, the things that we can do in people's lives are incredible through His power. Kind of like Becca was talking, power over the wind, the weather, and the waves. But the power to impact people's hearts and touch them. I mentioned in the last service, you know, one of our pastors here, Dan Bosco, he's not married, but I know for a fact that he's touched many, many marriages for just having that heart to heal and to restore and to bring people into alignment with God's word. So if you're single, this is for you too. So yeah, please hang out. I wanted to talk a little bit about, Steve has been talking about the importance of vulnerability, or he's mentioned it a couple of times, which I just thought was outstanding, just blessed by that. If we go to this next slide, be a little vulnerable about myself here. So this is I'm not going to keep referring to you, but just this once. My wife, Kristen, you're sitting in the front with our daughter, Rachel. We were married 13 years ago, and just this last month. And when I was kind of putting this message together and the slides and all that, and I looked at this picture, I thought, man, it's funny. There's no way that guy up there would have ever dreamed that he'd be here doing this. In fact, if somebody had told him that, he would have told him to pound sand, that it was just a ridiculous notion. And I think the young woman probably would have laughed as well, thinking about that. Because at the time, where my faith was, I believed in God. I believed there was a God of the universe who was looking over all of us, but I had no relationship with Jesus, and I really wasn't interested in religion or church or things like that. My past had sort of created a life that had pushed that all away. And so there was a lot of reconciling and restoration that had to be done in my own heart. And beginning a marriage that way, even when your wife loves Jesus and wants you to love Jesus, it's still a really tough place to be. It seems like you're constantly just bumping heads and going back and forth, and it's complete chaos. So I wrote this, that if our fundamental understanding of God's purpose, prediction, and plan for marriage is flawed, we will not be able to restore or thrive in our lives. So there's a piece in all of this, and this is what I find so valuable with a lot of the messages that Steve brings, is the theology behind it. As I get deeper into understanding who God is, what His plan and purpose is, and how He sees us, it does bring healing to my heart. It brings greater understanding and acknowledgement of who He is and what He wants for me and for all of us. But with that misunderstanding, so these two people here, yeah, I did pick out that cake topper, by the way. And there was a lot of eye rolling at me when I was, yeah, that one, I really want that one. I'm not sure that that totally depicts what I thought marriage was going to be like. I mostly did it because I thought it was funny, though I suppose there's a shred of truth in all those things. And there was part of me, you know, that independent part of all of us that felt like, you know, I really do love her and I really do want to do this, but is my experience going to be like that? I don't know. I'll tell you, the first few years, yeah, it probably did feel that way a little bit, probably to both of us. That probably could have been reversed. But when you begin with not having that understanding of what God created for marriage, you do start from a place just of complete and total misunderstanding. And so things don't really make sense. We put the needs of ourselves completely and totally on the other person, on our spouse. We look to them to put something in us that only God can do. And I don't know if you want to raise your hands or not, if you agree with that or have experienced that in your life or in your marriage, that we look to that other person and we say that classic Jerry Maguire line, who knows it? You complete me, right? Which I thought was a fun movie and everything, but that statement, while it was very warm and fuzzy at the time, and I thought it was really cool, it's a crock. It is such a crock. You complete me. Our wives, our husbands, they can help complete us. They can build us up. They can support us. And I'm going to talk about what that looks like today, the power that we have for one another in marriage and how we can bless each other. And that's an awesome thing. But if I put all that 100% on my wife, it's not going to be pretty. Our expectations are going to be not in a healthy place. So what else did I want to say about that? So I want to go to what I want to do today is kind of walk us through this process of helping you to see what God has revealed to me as a counselor, but also as a husband and a father, of what this looks like to align our lives with him in marriage. So if we could go to the next slide. Sorry, we're going to get rid of that cake topper. A lot of times, what we do with Genesis, you know, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, we may take them individually on their own instead of putting them together as I believe God intended to do, because that reveals his heart for us and what he wants. If we read Genesis 1, we see that he created it all, and it was good, and he celebrated, and he rested, and he called it good. And it came out of chaos, right? He took a universe out of complete chaos and completed something that was beautiful and intended for worship between us and him, and he called it good, right? And we don't want to lose that. We don't want to lose that part of God's heart just because of what happened in the fall, which I'm going to talk about here in a minute. And if we isolate that only to that's just Genesis 1, and he created it, and it was good, and that was at one time, it was good, but that was just Genesis 1, we're missing out. We're missing out on the goodness that God has for all of us. So Genesis 2, God made us and created us in his image, and this is mentioned in, Jesus talks about this in the New Testament too, that a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Right, I can admit completely and fully that was something else that I'll say we, but I mean me, did not do a great job of completely leaving my what I would say is my former life behind. Not just my mom and dad, not just my family, but everything. Setting that aside and into the past and focusing on the good marriage that God blessed me with, and all that he could do from that. And every time I would bring all that other stuff back in, it would muddy the waters and there'd be chaos again. So that's the importance there of Genesis 2, at least in what we're talking about today. Genesis 3, obviously, as we all know, the fall, our sin. And as much as when I read that, I think, oh man, why did they have to screw it up? and get kind of, I can get a little bit righteous in that. We all do it. we can all relate to it, right? And they respond, Adam and Eve respond, just like we would, you know? Adam says, well, I didn't do it, she did it. And you sent her to me. So he, in like the same breath, he blames Eve and God. And takes no accountability for himself. And then Eve just wants to blame evil. She wants to blame Satan for tempting her and telling her these things. No responsibility, right? And that's part of the fall. And yet, that's not, that God doesn't want us to stay there. If we do stay there, if we read Genesis 3, and that's the end of our story, even that part that God says, I'm going to cause hostility between you, man, and the woman, and you'll struggle to scratch a living from the earth, and telling the woman, you're going to desire to control your husband, but he'll rule over you, right? He's letting us know, this is what it's going to be like from here on out after the fall. But the rest of God's word, the rest of Scripture, all the way through from Genesis all the way through Revelation, is God's plan of restoration to heal us. This is not the end of the story, Genesis 3. We need to circle back and see that God's intention at the beginning was Genesis 1 for good, right? Yeah, we fell. And there's some information there that God shares with us that can be incredibly useful and insightful in our marriages, in our communities, our families, our church body, about our sin and our nature. But he wants nothing more than for us to reconnect with him, right? And he made a way through Jesus for us to do that. But when we keep ourselves stuck in that place of Genesis 3, that way is it's very limited. It's a very limited view. So that's kind of that, I guess, that theological piece that I want to share with you, that I share with many couples as we start marriage counseling and trying to decide, where are you at? Who do you think God is? What's your relationship like with him? And if I start to hear, well, he's destined me for failure in this marriage because I chose wrong. I did this. I did that. He's punishing me. All of this stuff. Well, that's not God's heart. That doesn't sound like God's heart to me. You know, there are consequences for our behavior, but there's always restoration. So let's go to the next slide. I promise I'm not going to be all doom and gloom today. I really want to connect all of this to that place of goodness and even show you how or give you some ideas. So the misunderstanding of God's purpose, plan, and prediction creates these lies, and there's so many others. I just picked some of the top ones that I've seen in my work and that I've seen in my own life. Already talked about that first one. We are doomed sinners. We need to move away from that. We need to move beyond Genesis 3 and begin looking at the rest of the story, the rest of our story, what God has for us. That second one, unrealistic and unhealthy expectations. Man, if we are looking at our other, we are looking at our spouse to fill all those needs that we have and to be like a sin-free person or a person without flaws, that's just poor theology. We don't understand all the stuff that I was just talking about in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, right? We want, it's strange, but this is very much human nature. We want to be accepted for our own sin and our own brokenness and the stuff that screwed up in us. And then we look to our spouse, and this is kind of a deep internal thing, and we look to them and we think, you know, you got some stuff to fix there. You got some things to work on, because you have sin and you have brokenness and you're not addressing it the right way. And I need you to get whole so that you can complete me. Right? That's not the design that God has. This is about us. I own 100% of the health of my marriage. That's on me. Whatever my wife has going on, whatever your husband, whatever your wife has going on, that's their journey. And we're going to talk about how you can support them, how you can lead them, and how you can bless them through that process. Instead of just saying, all right, sinner, clean up your act so that you can help me clean up mine. So, bitter and unforgiving hearts, boy, that's another big one. thread throughout all of Scripture, right? Forgiveness, 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 over and over and over and over. And a lot of us do a great job of applying that in our day-to-day lives, you know? Somebody cuts you off in traffic, somebody screws you over at work, all those kinds of things, hurt relationships. But the place where we need it the most is the place that we probably accept it the least, right? Our marriages, those most intimate relationships where we begin to build up walls and barriers of self-protection, right? And again, we get that, we're looking at it the wrong way. We're trying to see what the other person can fix about them, not what we can do in us, right? But that's not God's plan. And again, he's calling us back. He's beckoning us back for restoration of our marriages and our souls and to reconnect and realign with him. And if we're not engaging this, if we're saying, well, you know, I can forgive, but I won't forget, and we're making these kinds of comments that put us in a place where we think that we're owed, that we're rightfully able to be unforgiving, we're going to get stuck. And we're going to open a door for evil to work in our lives. This last one, so the enemy has really attacked, right, our sexuality, our romance, our intimacy with one another. And he wants to destroy that. That's his heart. And he knows that that is just a great place to go to take us down. And the world does it too, the world that we live in, right? It cheapens it. It makes it something that's not intended to be. And so when we align ourselves with the world perspective or the evil perspective, depending on our experiences, and we just say, that's the way it is, this is kind of where I'm at, and this is as good as it's going to get, we diminish, and we get into a place where God's not able to fully operate in our lives, right? It's another place of just being stuck. We can get complacent with it even. And if you think about it, just one little bit on this. So we were created, as we were here at the start of our service, really created for a place of worship with God in relationship with him, right? And worship often involves song, joy, crying out to God, right? Anybody read the book Song of Songs? Yeah? I mean, huge book of worship for one another in marriage and toward God, you know? It's like it's got it all in there. It's got the horizontal perspective of marriage and worship and sex and romance and intimacy and all that that's supposed to look like, and the vertical relationship and the place of worship with God. It's a gift from him. It's been destroyed by our culture and by Satan, and it's up to us to take it back. It is our place to re-engage God with that part of our lives to keep our marriages strong and healthy and not susceptible to the works of the enemy. Amen? Okay. Next slide, please. So here we are, all broken up, hobbling our way through life, and wanting to be whole again, but not really sure how. You know, great, Dan, you've told us a lot of really cool things. What am I supposed to do about it? When you say engage that part or invite God in or do this or do that, what does that look like? I don't really know. Well, I'm going to give you some thoughts on that. I hope I am. I hope these are good. First of all, I think as a couple, I mentioned before, supporting, blessing, and honoring one another, praying for each other, praying together, right? That creates an alliance for us between each other and for God to do a work in us, right? And that's a spiritual gift and a blessing that God's given us for us to be in communication with one another and with him, right? And we know all about, you know, putting on the armor of God. That's part of it, is armoring up together to go into battle in our marriages. So you think about the spiritual gifts that we've talked about. Steve's mentioned quite a few in the last few weeks. And I think Bryant, when he spoke last month, words of knowledge, wisdom, prophecy. Think about how those things could impact and enhance your marriage, right? We talk a lot about what we can do with those things here in church and out in our community, and that is awesome. We absolutely should. But boy, what if we practice those things in our marriages and our families first? What if we practice healing in our homes and our most intimate of relationships? And we get strengthened by the Spirit and in our own gifts to then bring those out into the world and share those. I'm not going to claim that you know, I don't want to be, you know, a liar. We don't do these things all the time or even all that well on a regular basis. The point of this, I think, is to engage all of it and take the initiative to seek it. You're going to be at different stages. We're all going to be at different stages. To just close your ears and close your eyes and pretend that this spiritual battle and these things don't exist and they're not going on in your lives, you are crippling yourself. Like in that last image, we will remain broken. And we might be able to get our way through marriage, through life. We might be able to go all the way until the end. It's going to be painful, though. And some of us might not make it either. And the thing is, when a marriage is destroyed out of that brokenness, and we want to try and then become whole again, it's kind of hard because, you know, a divorce and the end of a marriage usually just creates more brokenness, right? And then we try and find somebody else who's going to complete us. But we're still broken, right? So the cycle continues. God's given us these beautiful, amazing, and wonderful gifts for us to use with one another, for one another. Let's not let them go to waste. Pray for God to open your eyes. Brian spoke about a soft heart a minute ago. I think that's a great word for today. That's God showing up here this morning, you guys. Soften your heart before God, not just in your marriage with your husband or for your wife, but for God. Read his word. What is he saying to you? What's he speaking to you? Where are you to initiate these things in your marriage and in your home? But we first have to ask, and then we have to make space for him. So if we wake up and we say, okay, God, you know, show me something today. Let me read. Okay, I got my reading done. And then we have our busy day, and then we circle back and go to bed at night, and we just say, God didn't move today. I don't know. It was kind of a busy day, but nothing happened, spiritually speaking. We have to make space for him throughout the day. To listen for his Spirit speaking to your heart. Let me add one other thing here. When our husbands or our wives have something to say to us about our misalignment, about our sin, about what we're not doing well, 9.9 times out of 10, that is not spoken out of a place of harshness or judgment or to be critical. It is because we are doing something that is hurtful toward them. Right? And that is a gift. To receive those kinds of words over our lives should be seen as a gift to help us align ourselves with God. Right? We want to be careful, all of us, we want to be encouraging one another, right? And speaking encouraging words and not just criticizing. But if you're hearing something from your spouse, take a look at it. It could really, really bless you. Don't stop pursuing would be another one. So this is not a one-time thing. I don't imagine anybody is going to get up out of their seats today and walk out of church and go home and feel like they're fully restored. I would love that. I love the miraculous. I believe in the miraculous. And I'm not speaking that over you. That could happen today. But even if it did happen, there's still an ongoing relationship with God. We don't nurture relationships here on earth like as a one-time thing. We don't get married, put on the ring, say our vows, and do all that, and then go, that's that. I'm good. No more work needing to be done here. No, it's going to be ongoing. We're gonna change. Our spouses are going to change, and we have to continue to seek them and pursue them. So I just encourage you to continue pursuing God in all of these things and anything I might miss today. Listen. Receive, last two things. receive from your faith community. Boy, like I mentioned at the start, what a blessing we have here with all of us. Many of us know one another, are in relationship with one another, have experiences, have history with each other. That's beautiful. Use that. Ask someone for prayer. Ask them for a word. Ask them to speak over your life. You could be richly, richly blessed today by that. And then on the contrast of that, give. Give that to your fellow brothers and sisters who are here. Pray for someone. You don't have to have elaborate prayer with awesome words that are strung together so nicely in such a nice little package that somebody's just like, well, I don't even know what you said, but sure sounded cool. No, just speak from your heart. Speak from your heart to bless somebody with a word of encouragement or knowledge. Maybe you have a gift of prophecy. Share it. It'll bless you. And again, I'm just going to reiterate, if you're unsure, you feel modest about that, try it out at home first. Give a word of knowledge, encouragement, prophetic word to one of your kids, your wife, your husband. I'm going to read through a couple of verses here just because I think they're incredibly important. And Steve, a couple weeks ago, was talking about John 16:13. He kind of camped out in this for most of his message. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Let's put these things in the context of marriage, not just in the place of worship or for one another, but in our most intimate and personal of relationships. Okay? Allowing the Spirit of truth to speak and to be heard. Romans 8:26-28, and this is from the message. I put this up just because I just thought it sounded really cool the way that it was phrased. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Right? Again, that's God's heart to restore. Next slide, please. A couple more. If you want to, if you haven't done so already, you want to take pictures of some of these or mark them down as you go through your week. I think they'll bless you. They did for me. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Right? Again, context of marriage and your closest relationships. These are great for the body, but they're great for that one-on-one as well. The last one I'm going to read is actually just this middle one, and I just this came to me last night. I was reading, and I was just sort of floored by it and what I was going to be speaking about today. So, two are better than one, because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fail, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Did you catch that at the end? Threefold cord. What are we talking about? Holy Spirit, right? As we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, it's going to strengthen the bond that we have in our marriages and in our closest relationships. We can do it. We can keep each other warm on our own. It's been happening for millennia. It's just frankly not as good. I'm going to ask the worship team to start coming back up, and I'm also going to ask for you guys today, just if there's anything that you heard today that has touched you, if God has somehow reached into your heart, into your mind, would love to hear from you. You got a word of encouragement or knowledge for the body. We would love to hear from you. I know that, Kurt, you up for that again? You want to share again? I'm going to have Kurt share in a minute. He just had an amazing word to share here in the first service, and it really aligned incredibly well with the message today, and it really blessed me. And but if anybody else has a word or is seeking prayer or wants to offer prayer, this is the place. This is the place to practice those gifts. So let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for making a way. Thank you for showing us what things would be like for us. Thank you for revealing the challenges in our lives, but then for sending Jesus and making a way. I think of our valley, Lord, that it's, you know, with the river that runs through this Roaring Fork Valley, that in my mind, at least this morning, that river could be symbolic of Jesus. It's beautiful, it's flowing, it's moving. But if we just want to sit by and watch it and say that's a beautiful and an awesome thing, that's good. But what's better is if we get in and we get our feet wet and we invite the Holy Spirit to begin doing a work in us, and we invite others in as well. And we can just receive the incredible blessing and healing and through the powers that you've given us, Lord. So I pray that we might move throughout our week with hearts that are open and willing and excited to engage, that seek to surrender ourselves before you, God, and to bless others and to receive your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.